There's so many things for us to give thanks for and to pray for. And we don't do this every Sunday, but what I'd like to do is lead us in a time of prayer. And as we go through each area of prayer, mode of prayer, I'd like to encourage maybe one or two people just to offer up a brief prayer. So we're going to praise God. We're going to offer confession. We're going to give thanks for all the ways that he's at work in our lives and in our world. And then we're going to also offer up requests on behalf of other people. You can keep in prayer the family and all of the people that were affected with the fatal crash just north of here earlier this week. A little one lost their life. So please be in prayer for the family as well as for the man who hit them as well. Be in prayer for those who are struggling with employment this week, those who are still in recovery from the fires north of us and south of us, the mudslides, all of those things. There's just so many things that are going on, and this is just beyond what is affecting us personally. So let's enter into this time of prayer this morning, and again, I'll give you an opportunity to offer up prayers as well. Let's pray. Jesus, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for who you are, that you are great and good, that you love us, that you never stop pursuing us because you so want to be in relationship with us. You want us to be able to experience the kind of relationship that you have, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in tune that our heart becomes like your heart. Lord, in this time, will you hear the prayers that we offer of how good and great you are?
Lord, we thank you for a new year, a new year of hope, a new year of growth, a new year of being close to you.
Yes, Lord, a new year, hope, growth.
I thank you, God, for your faithfulness.
Yes, Lord, you are faithful.
Lord, thank you that you are all powerful.
Yes, Lord, all powerful. You can do all things.
Lord, I thank you in somebody's life today. You're breaking off depression.
Yes, Lord.
In somebody's life today, Lord. You reunited that marriage, Lord. In somebody's life today, Lord, they found their child. In somebody's life, Lord, their child has come back home and no longer on drugs, Lord. But we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We just thank you for your all-knowing, your sovereign, your all-knowing. We just thank you for your mighty love, Lord, and
yes,
your unchanging hand, Lord. We thank you.
Yes, Lord. Lord, we confess we don't always follow you as closely as we know we should and can. We also know that you enable us by the power of your Spirit to continue. Lord, will you help each of us to persevere? Will you help your church to persevere in faith and faithfulness so that you might bring about fruit in us and fruitfulness in your world?
Lord, I just want to lift up the concerns of all the people that have been displaced by the number of fires in the state.
God, we praise you for the ways that you are at work in the lives of each person here and all the circumstances and situations that we're a part of. Lord, I praise you for the young woman last week who made a decision to say yes to you. And Lord, now will you steward that choice that she made and help draw her into a further, deeper relationship with you. Lord, amen. Amen. We praise you. Anyone else this morning? Father, now will you continue to soften our hearts? Help us to respond to those around us. We lift up all of the names and situations. Those are in the hospital. Those who are in need of healing physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever the case may be. By the power of your Spirit, will you bring healing upon them this very moment? We pray this and we trust this, that you have heard and will answer in your time. Lord, for our church, will you bless the faithfulness of the people that you have gathered here, for the church is your body. Lord, will you help us to be one? Give us soft hearts. Give us open hearts to be attentive to your Spirit, to the ways that you are at work in the world, and help us run to participate. For all of this, and for so much more, we give you thanks. We pray this in the loving name of Jesus. Amen. Are great, and other times our words can really fail us. But we also know that some words matter more than others. The words that you said when you got your first job or your last job, hallelujah, for some of you. The words that perhaps you've said in marriage vows, or words that you have regretted, or words of an apology. Some of our first words for those young ones when they say that first critical word, and we hope it's mama or papa, but it's usually no. Words matter. Our last words to a loved one, perhaps you remember those words as well. But if we are to believe or trust the words that we say, we must back them up with our actions, who we are. Otherwise, it's just emptiness. Those words just float out into the atmosphere, and we can't take them back. Word and act. This is what following Jesus is like. We hear his word. We have to come to a point where we can accept it, we can receive what he offers, and then respond as it changes us. Word and act. If we hear and do nothing, then have we really heard? We can listen, and you all have experienced this in your life. You listen, but you're not really paying attention. Sorry, Rebecca, at times. Sometimes we hear words, but we're not really listening. Or we're not in that mindset where we're able to hear them truly where it matters in our heart. When we respond to the word of Jesus, we show how it's made a difference in our life. If there is no difference between me and the rest of the world, then has Jesus made a difference for me, for you? In our scripture today from Luke 4, we have some first critical words that Jesus offers, and they have massive importance for us today. Last week, we asked the question, if we were to listen to what Jesus was saying, what heart would we reveal to the world? This week, then, we ask this question: what kind of heart does Jesus desire and require from us in order to follow him as his disciples? What does Jesus desire and require from us if we are really to follow him? To explore this, let's dive into the Word of God. Luke 4, if you have a Bible, otherwise the words are also on our screen. Just as a background, the very beginning of chapter 4, Jesus has just experienced temptation in the wilderness where the devil has offered him the world. And Jesus has successfully passed the test. It says Jesus was full in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he returns to the rest of the people whom he was called to speak to. Luke 14 4:14 through 17, let me read this. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Something's different now. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Can you imagine everyone praising him? This is one of the only times where it says that everyone was praising Jesus, almost like a little taste of heaven. Verse 16, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, his hometown. Pittsburgh, we could imagine. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. Jesus is all ready to share some words with his people, his hometown folks. He's back almost as a kind of celebrity preacher, teacher. And yet, there were many there who already knew he had some kind of interesting understanding. He had some special knowledge of the scripture because he had been doing that since he was 12 years old when he ran away from his parents or didn't follow his parents. And they found him in the temple, and he was already teaching and preaching of a sort at age 12. And so as this local teacher who they know to some degree, he's invited to speak a word. Bring us a word, Jesus, at our service today. Now, though, he has this additional credibility of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, or at least people are finally aware of the power that Jesus has. And it's apparent to everyone. So he gets up to read, or they hand him the giant scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he reads this, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How's that sound so far? So good so far. Nothing that would have you leaving for the exits at that point. We always like that, the first part. It actually sounds like good news for those who are in need. Verse 20. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened upon him. He had their attention. They were waiting for what was going to be next. And so he sits down, and they're waiting. What's he going to say? Think of what you would be thinking in that moment. I wonder what's going to come next. Any profound words of wisdom for this coming week, Jesus? He began by saying to them these eight little words. Verse 21. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. One of the shortest sermons ever. Eight words. And the church said amen. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Everyone heard him say this. What's their reaction? Verse 22, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Our hometown carpenter's son. Man, what a guy. There wasn't any sense of, did he just say what I thought he said? So far, so good. What a nice young man. You can imagine some person in the back saying, he's good people. Such an accomplished speaker. Wow, I like this Jesus. Great insight. Good sermon. Amazed at his grace-filled words, they were. But some were unsure. Some were perhaps thinking things like, didn't that guy grow up here? Does he suddenly think he's bigger than where he came from? Isn't he working for his dad, a carpenter? I remember he fixed our fence. I bought a chair from him. It wobbled a little bit. How can this guy claim to be who he is? How can this be fulfilled in our hearing? Their response is pretty typical for humankind. And even if we don't know everything that they were thinking, we know we're human. We'd be thinking some of the same things. Initially, everyone nods their head. Interesting, surprising, sounds good to me. Some wanted confirmation. Are you who you say you are? And we read this in other places in the Bible. Unfortunately, being amazed by words is not enough. We've all been amazed by words that have failed to actually register and make a lasting impact. Jesus says, hear and believe, but he knows that many of the hearts in that moment are too hard. They cannot hear him for what he's trying to say. They're not open. They're too stubborn. It's gone on too long. He knows, and this must have grieved his spirit so mightily, that many in his hometown would reject him. What a burden. And yet, he continued speaking. This is what he says. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. They got all your miracles. We want the same thing here. Truly, I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you, and this is where people would start to maybe think about leaving the exits, that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. And those are the last words in this encounter that Jesus is quoted as saying. He brings up the prophets of the past. He brings up their minds back to a time where there was profound wickedness in Israel. Few were following. God's word in those days passed over unfaithful, unrepentant Israelites and went to widows in other places. God's offer of healing passed over those same hardened hearts of the Israelites, and it went to a foreigner, a Gentile. Suddenly, this good news is a little bit too close to home. Doesn't sound as good for us at that moment if we were sitting there. The man who was healed would have been a social outcast, and the Israelites would have thought that about him. They would have said, what does that Syrian have anything to do with the Lord our God? What they failed to recognize was Jesus has come to do what the nation had failed to do. Follow the Lord their God, as the commandment stated, with their whole heart. It's more than just a prophetic word that Jesus offers. It's a proclamation and call to action. He reveals that salvation, the true and complete healing, only comes to those who respond by faith. You don't get it by birth. For those Israelites, because whether you're circumcised or not doesn't mean one thing. It only comes by faith and continuing to trust him. And this is a word that only the Messiah can say. See, it's more than a prophetic word. It's a word of action. Jesus offers this same word to you today. Healing. To be set free from whatever is keeping you bound. all that has kept you shackled and burdens, those things in your heart, Jesus has come to set you free and has indeed already done so. Jesus says, I'm not just bringing a message. I am the message. I am the good news. I bring deliverance. You are released. This is available to anyone who's willing to admit something is missing. I praise God for the decision that young woman made last week, who finally came to the point in her life where she knew something was missing in her life, and she said yes to Christ. She probably doesn't know exactly what that means right now. None of us do. We don't have a chance to fully unpack that. It takes a lifetime to do that. And yet it all begins with that first step. It used to be that admitting or sharing your problems was a sign of weakness. I know for a lot of you men out there, that is something that maybe continues to be taught. Or you chalk it up to a midlife crisis, or it's just a phase you're going through. Now, being open and honest, or sometimes we'll use the word transparent, it's part of what we call emotional intelligence. It's actually treated as a virtue. A sign that you're self-aware enough to know your own limitations and ask for help. Didn't used to be like that all the time. But this is the beauty of the good news. That when you get to that point, once you admit you're facing difficulty, hardship, you become aware of something in your heart, then paying attention to Jesus is easier because you know you have a need and Jesus will listen. You know you need help from outside yourself. For some of you, you've made that decision a long time ago. And yet we continue to make those decisions each and every day because we're never not in need of something. We're never not in need of the healing that Jesus comes to bring. What kind of heart, then, does Jesus desire and require from us to follow him? If we want to develop into fully devoted followers of Jesus, we already know that it takes our whole heart. The Bible says as much. Jesus himself tells the Jewish leaders that the first and greatest commandment is to what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second, he says, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Not just love your neighbor, but love your neighbor as yourself. Everything hangs on this, he says. So I'd like to highlight four things, four aspects of the heart. They're all on one slide for us today, so you can fill them in quickly, and then you can sit back and think more on this. Four requirements of a following heart. One, a soft heart to hear his word. A willing heart to accept his message. A responsive heart to receive his healing, and a released heart to move with him. And that's the payoff. That's the key, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Number one, a soft heart. Anyone can be opened or closed to the love of God, but especially when we're in times of suffering or we need help and healing, when we're simply overwhelmed. This is when the soft heart that Christ so desperately wants from us can be more attentive to hear his message. Some of the hardest hearts that I've ever known have been the most open at the times of greatest suffering and pain. You'd be surprised, or maybe not, how many people come to know of the love of Jesus in a funeral, in a hospital, in prison, in those times of great suffering and trial. This is when that we can hear that message of Jesus perhaps more clearly than when things are going just fine. We can hear him say, I'm here to set you free. Free from what has a hold on you and freed to follow me wherever I am with your whole heart. I can't promise that you'll hear that clearly every day. I don't hear that every day as clearly as I should. But I do promise you that it will take a soft heart if we are to be able to hear. Number two, a willing heart to accept his message. A willing heart. Anyone can make a choice to accept the message of Jesus. There is no one beyond the redemptive power of the Lord God Almighty. It doesn't matter what anyone has done. Now, there may still be consequences for what we have done, but no one is beyond the ability to choose to say yes. But like certain addictions or other issues that you have to be willing to admit that there's a need in the first place, that something is missing. You have a problem and you need help. A soft and willing heart recognizes that sin does have a power and hold on us at times, sometimes more than other times. And yet we desire to go the other way and to accept Jesus' offer of salvation. Now, this is not just a one-time offer. Often we're mostly concerned about when people sign on the dotted line, get your salvation card. That's kind of making it sort of cheesy. But I think Jesus is not just concerned with that one moment. He's concerned with the lifetime movement from that one moment. He's ultimately concerned about everything that we do and say and who we are. And so that means every moment from that point forward matters to God. Number three, a responsive heart. Anyone can respond by trusting Jesus to help you change for good, to begin to replace disorder with order, to transform hate and bitterness into love and joy, to turn anger and fear into peace and trust. It is possible. Some of you have experienced this. You've already shared that with me. Some of you have seen this in the people's lives of those that you know. Maybe you've experienced a story where you're like, that had to be a God thing. That 180 is only possible because of God. My dad is one of those people. A responsive heart to receive his healing is a heart that's ready to hear the word he speaks and accept it and respond without excuses, without looking for the loopholes or getting defensive. I say, I want to receive your healing, O Lord. We come to that point, we say, Jesus, I surrender. We might even sing a song, I surrender. I need your help. I want to receive your healing. I turn to you. Songs have been written about every one of those lines. And yet our hearts always have a choice of how to respond to the Jesus who loves us so much. Number four, a released heart to move with him. And we could say a lot more about these four things. We're just kind of doing a quick overview. A released heart. Anyone with a heart set free by hearing, accepting, and receiving what Jesus offers is freed to move in any and every way that he demonstrates for us. So when he speaks to the group in the synagogue and says, you guys didn't get it, so the word of God came to this other lady. You guys didn't get it. So the healing went to this foreign guy that you looked down upon. Do you still get it now? No. And what does Jesus do? He moves on. We don't like to think of that Jesus. We like the nice, cuddly, warm Jesus. We don't like the challenging Jesus. As soon as Jesus reveals his expansive mission, that it's also going to include the ability of all people to receive this good news, his hometown exposes the truth in their heart. Let me read verse 28 for us. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. Those people How can you love and heal and save those people? They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Maybe the crest of Mount Diablo. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. They were filled with wrath or hate. That word furious is deeper than just what it sounds like. It has all of those meanings in it. How dare he call us out? We aren't the ones with the problem. They need the help. We're comfortable right where we are. Who does he think he is? Doesn't he know we're God's chosen people? I have my salvation card. What do I care? What do I need to change for? And their hostile attitude provokes that response in them. They run him out of town and want to kill him. Their hate and anger made them unable to see the truth of who Jesus was, the fullness of love, hope, healing, and salvation. And we might want to kill him for just the same reason. Whenever we say those people. The Bible declares in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. They had perfect love right in front of them, and they drove him out of town. So he moves on. Without them, to continue his healing mission to those who would hear. I'm sure this grieved his spirit greatly. Perhaps that grieves your spirit too, the people that you are closest to, who have yet to know of the love of Jesus, those who are close to you who have rejected him so far. I always want to encourage you to think of those people as not yet believers, because there's always a chance that someone can come to the knowledge that Christ loves them and come to a new understanding. And even if it takes you 30 years of fervent prayer, don't give up. Maybe that's what is needed in your life or the life of someone close to you. Christ never gave up on us. And yet, he was willing to move on to those who are more receptive. When Jesus says, come follow me, we have to recognize that he's already on the move. When he called those first disciples to say and said, come follow me, he wasn't just standing around sitting around in his lazy boy. He was already on the move, and he was inviting them to come in the direction that he was already moving. And he will keep on going with or without them, and with or without us. Any response that intends to follow Jesus on our terms will not be successful. He doesn't respond to follow us. We respond to follow him, to move to where he's at work and where he is going. And you know, this is hard because we all have ideas about how we think the world should work. You know, the world should operate this way, and yet we know it doesn't. You know, everybody should believe this, and yet, you know, they don't. You know, everyone should be able to do this or do that, and yet that doesn't happen. For you and me, Jesus also expects a response from us. When his word is spoken, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What he declared then is still just as true today for you and me. Just as we said last week that the words that flow out of our mouth are important, they display the truth of what is in our heart, so too do our actions. Every moment, every day. The hard truth is that Jesus is going to continue what he's doing. He always has, he always will. Whether we're receptive or not. It's like he's saying to each of us, are you with me or not? And if we say yes, then he's like, great, let's go. And if we say no, he's like, great, I'm going. You can follow me or stay and miss the boat. If you've struggled lately with your ability to believe Jesus or to follow him with your whole heart, and I know all of us have been at that place, perhaps you are today, I want to encourage you to start by making the decision to commit or recommit to him again. Allow the love of Jesus to fill those holes and spaces in your heart within you. Renew, ask him to renew your heart and your soul and your mind so that you can give him your whole heart. Say, today I choose Jesus. Help me to follow you, Lord. Have your spirit show me what following you is like. What do you desire? Transform me into the person you know I can be so that where you go, I will follow. The beautiful thing every time you commit or recommit your life is the knowledge that the Spirit is already at work ahead of you. It's already at work in you. It's already working in the circumstances of your life to transform what's happening. I want to encourage you that Jesus is at work in you. He is at work in the circumstances of your life. He cares for your struggles. He's at work in this church. He's at work in our relationships, even as we're learning how to extend love and grace to one another, especially at times when we don't deserve it. I have one final slide that I'd like to put up. I'm going to say more about this tonight regarding advancing the mission of our church, but I want to leave you a little bit hungry to hear more. Here are four responses to Jesus that we're going to make this year. Ooh, I like that picture. And you'll see more of that. One, we will immerse ourselves in the Word of God together. Two, we will immerse ourselves in a rhythm of prayer together. Three, we will immerse ourselves in the art of compassion together, especially for the hurting, the lost, and the lonely. And four, we will immerse ourselves in lives of service together. I'll say more about that tonight. But I believe that all four of those will help develop our hearts into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ who are responsive to the movement of his Spirit in this world. And we will do this together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people whom you have gathered together who are your church. May God give us the courage, God, we pray, to follow you with our whole heart. Grow us into the people that you know and have enabled us to be. God, we do all of this for your glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May you experience this today and each day going forward. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen.